I'm delighted to be joined now by singer-songwriter Charlotte Kelly. Charlotte is perhaps most famous for being part of the 1990s Grammy Award-winning band Soul to Soul. Hello, Charlotte.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks, you?
Yeah, I'm really good, thank you.
As you'll find out over the course of this interview, music is definitely in Charlotte's blood and has been since a young age. So let's go back to the beginning, Charlotte. Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Coventry, and that's where I went to school, and I lived there with my parents. But as soon as I was old enough, I knew that I just needed to leave there to do music, really.
You had your calling for music at quite a young age.
Yeah, I did. I left Coventry when I was 15. I was quite determined. I always knew that I wanted to sing. I'm not offering this as advice to anyone else, but I didn't do much with my schoolwork. I just knew that I was going to sing and that I was going to make it happen, and that's basically what I had on my mind.
Now, that wouldn't be vastly different from a lot of kids' dreams, and it's notoriously difficult to break into the music scene.
Yeah.
How did you get your big break?
Well, to be honest, it was persistence, and it was also about realising that if you're going to create a dream, you need to be committed to it. It's all well and good having the dream, but, you know, you need to follow it with action, which means regarding what it's going to take to make that become reality rather than just something that you, you know, stars in the sky. So, for instance, you know, I went on to my parents about making a demo tape, and obviously, selfishly, I just wanted them to pay for it. And my mum said, if you really believe that you can do music and it's what you want, you need to go and get a job, even if it's a Saturday job, pay for your own first demo, and then when we see that you really mean business, we'll help you. But till then, you know, we haven't got money to throw at you, so you need to do that. So I did.
So what were your musical influences at that age?
Well, my first love was Motown, because my mum bought me a Motown album when I was 13. It was my favourite. I just thought it was amazing. And then obviously, I went on to buy other Motown albums. So that was my first love. And obviously, I love reggae and I love stoners rock. So it's kind of a strange mix, really.
Eclectic mix.
Yeah.
And was your voice much better than all your friends? Did you know you had talent?
To be honest, I didn't. The reason it helped me is because, obviously, being blind and going to a normal school with normal children, thanks to my father, because he insisted that I needed to do that to integrate myself into the world. Singing helped me because, obviously, you know, I was a little bit geeky, a little bit dorky, not the best-looking girl in the school, and on top of that, I was constantly banging into things and needing help. So when I realised I could sing, it's quite an amazing day because I used to watch Morecambe and Wise films, and you know that song they did, Dancing in the Rain?
Oh, yeah.
Or Singing in the Rain? I'm not sure, but it's one of the two, but he's dancing at the time. Is it Gene Kelly that does it?
Yeah.
So I watched that movie and I loved it, and I was stood in the school playground, and it was a cold day. I remember that it was winter, and all the girls were singing, and then one of the girls said to me, go on, why don't you sing a song? And I started singing that song. She was like, oh my God, sing that again. That was really good. And that was the time that I started to realise, and it wasn't long before I used to be in the school playground and my friends used to stand around me and watch me sing. And that's kind of, you know, how it went. Even one boy at school once came up to me and said, I'll give you 50p if you sing me a song because I'm feeling sad. And I thought, wow. And in the end, I didn't want the 50p, but I just thought, yeah, this is what I need to be doing.
Really boost your confidence.
Yeah.
But you also see that the effect your voice is having on other people, making them happy.
Yeah, yeah, it was. And that was why I wanted to do it, really. I realised that that's how it made people feel.
What is your own sight loss condition?
It's actually a condition called nystagmus. So I have that, which is where the veins at the back of the eyes are quite twisted. And usually the cord is too long. And I also have my corneas are not developed, which is why my eyes don't pick up the light properly. Now, I'm blind in my right eye completely now, and I only have tunnel vision, which obviously means I've only got central view. I don't have any lateral or peripheral.
Has that got progressively worse?
As I've got older, it has. But to be honest, it's just one of those things that for me, because I don't know really what having perfect sight is. In that way, I'm quite blessed because I don't really know what I'm missing. Do you know what I mean? It's like the cake you never had.
What about mobility? Did you use a cane at school?
No, I didn't, because I always hated being connected to being blind because I hated the fact that I couldn't see properly. And so because of that, I wouldn't have a cane, I wouldn't learn Braille, and I wouldn't learn to touch type. In hindsight, that wasn't a very clever move because I could have given myself bigger wings. My attitude was, if I don't accept on some level that I'm blind and I try to go forward with what I've got, then I can expand it. And that has worked to a certain degree.
On the flip side, maybe if you had been more academically minded, you wouldn't have had this drive for the music.
That's right, yeah.
So it worked for you in the end.
Well, I mean, silly things like I did, because obviously I knew from a really young age that I was going to be a writer. So even though I found it difficult with my sight, I remember being turned down on a course, you know, when you choose your options before you do your GCSE.
Sure.
And I wanted to do English literature just because I think the English language is, you know, quite profound in lots of ways. And I really wanted to do it. And obviously having access to being able to be read stories and stuff. But my teacher was just like, there's no way you're going to be able to cope with that. Because in those days, we didn't have audiobooks or Tyndall, you know. So it was like you had to be able to read a lot. And because I can't, I couldn't be accepted onto the course. And I was quite annoyed about that.
So you signed your first professional contract at 16, Charlotte. What was that time in your life like? Were your friends supportive?
Yeah, it was great for me. I mean, the thing is, I didn't have a huge amount of friends. The small group of friends that I had, obviously everyone was really delighted for me. And they weren't surprised because I was singing all the time. I mean, when we used to have design technology where we could go make things out of wood or plastic or whatever, you know, I'd be singing my head off. And everyone just got used to knowing that that's what I do. All the school plays, I filled it up with all of my songs if I could, you know. So my friends were used to it. But so what happened then is I left Coventry and then I went to London and I lived there and insisted on living on my own, which I found really difficult because I didn't even know how to use a washing machine. But I also had a thing about freedom, and I think the reason I have that, because I still have it now, is because I know that I don't see well, and I'll never, well, I mean, I can have complete freedom, but then it's difficult for me because I always need people to help me with something. Do you know what I mean? So I think when I was younger, just the idea of being so grown up and living on my own, it was just something I was just really into, you know.
How did you find living in London at just 16 years old, with a visual impairment, no family and friends down there? I don't imagine it could have been easy.
The reason it was easy is because, well, I signed to a company called Big Life that was run by a man who's now deceased, God bless him, but he's called Jazz Summers, and he managed Soul to Soul for a while and Lisa Stansfield and owned the label I was signed to. So he was really the first man to sort of believe in me, really. And he brought me down there and I met everyone basically through him. So I was quite lucky. I think in some ways when I look back, I didn't realise how much I'd created this world for myself of being able to go and meet people who were pretty up there, you know. Because I met a lot of old school people like Junie Morrison from the Ohio Players. He was responsible for writing One Nation Under a Groove. Obviously, everyone knows Lisa Stansfield wrote All Around the World. So having access to these people and not feeling starstruck by it, because in my mind, we're all people. So they're just people that knew they wanted to be successful in that way. That's the only difference between them and the people buying the record.
Now, you joining Soul to Soul would be a few years off at this point, Charlotte. What were you doing at this time? Were you writing for other artists?
Normally, when you get signed as a young artist, you're on what's called a development deal because you need to work out yourself as a songwriter and stuff like that. So I had a situation where I was working with different people, trying to develop my craft, because although I could write songs, I needed to learn, you know, I was in the early stages. So I needed to learn about how to structure melodies better, how to write better lyrics, what kind of production you need for your songs, all those skills I didn't have because I was totally raw. So I was doing that, and Soul to Soul were busy doing their thing. And how we got together was Jazzy needed a singer for I Care and was interviewing lots of people. And at the time I was signed to another label because I'd been down to the studio and I'd been writing with him and for him. I didn't understand why I hadn't been asked to take an audition for it. So I decided to ask. And I said to him, why are you interviewing all these people when, you know, you could ask me because I'm here.
What did he say?
He said, I didn't think you'd want to do it because you're young and we're all so much older than you. And I said, but I'm happy to do it because it's a great song. So that's how I'm looking at it. So that was how it started between us, really.
And what was it like being in such a big group that was relevant to so many people?
It was really cool because back in those days, they really were like, you know, a family. Jazzy's always maintained that it needs to be a collective, which is what it is. And because a lot of them went to school together, they have genuinely grown up as a community that just happens to be Funky Dreads and happens to have a lot of musicians in it. So it was great to be part of that. It felt quite liberating for a young person.
I bet it did. And it must have been really reassuring to your parents as well, who were worried about you going down there in the first place.
Yeah.
Did that make things easier?
It did make things easier because I think my mum was worried because I, you know, I was known as being a bit of an old granny when I was young because I was quite forward for my years. But at the end of the day, there are some times when you kind of realise that someone is only 16, you know, and there are experiences in life you run into that teach you that. And I think that's what my parents were afraid of, really. But, you know, the great thing about being a kid is that 9 times out of 10, you're fearless. And that, in a way, is what breaks you into where you want to go, because you just want to go there. You don't worry about what's behind the door.
Definitely, I'd agree with that. So for any of the younger listeners that may not have heard of Soul to Soul, we're going to play one of your tracks now. This is I Care, which I believe got to number 17 in the UK charts.
It did, yeah.
Yeah, so number 17 in the UK charts, that must have been a thrill.
It was a thrill, it was great. I mean, for me, I was really excited. But when you, you know, speaking to Jazzy, someone's had a number one all over the world and who's got Grammys and OBE awards, you know, I don't think he was as excited as I was.
Another day, another dollar for Jazzy.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, you also, you had some success writing for other artists, Roll Deep and Good Times.
Yeah, that was great.
So when did you start thinking about going solo?
I think I would have started it roughly when I was about sort of 19, because by that time I was signed to EMI. But I struggled with that because I've got the brain of a songwriter, really. So for me, if I write a song and it's a hit song, or I think it's a hit and I think it sounds great, I just wanted to write it and use it. So I wasn't very good at kind of understanding that I needed to have a particular style that people could hear and go, oh yeah, that's Charlotte, you know, because I like so many different things. And there are only a few artists, aren't there, really, who get away with that, you know, people like Prince, to give an example. But generally, people like to hear a similar flavour running throughout all of your records. And I was never an expert at that because I always was in love with so many different styles.
So did you enjoy the experience of being a solo artist?
It was interesting. I've got to be honest, my personal journey is that I didn't enjoy it much. I found it quite lonely. I found it great from the point of view that you can express yourself whenever you like, doing whatever you want.
Uh-huh.
But it was not as much fun as working with a group of people you see every day and having the morale of, you know.
Yeah, like having a gang mentality, people to bounce off and pick you up when you're down, stuff like that.
There's a lot to be said for that, you know, people existing together.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I mean, it was great. It had its ups and downs, but I'm not in a hurry to go back to that.
So are you doing any music at the moment?
At the moment, I'm just getting ready to do some collaborations. I'm working with a friend of mine, and we're working on some stuff for George Clinton, who's doing a new album. So I've been doing some background vocals for that, which has been great. And working with another guy called Kerry Evans, whose his production name is Sonship. He does two-step garage. He was famous for that song, I'll Bring You Flowers. So, yeah, so just getting ready to write with other people, for other people, or as a featured project, but not necessarily as a solo act. And then, obviously, a bulk of my time is spent on tour with Soul to Soul. We're going to be working every single day, so that's going to be nice and tiring.
So what does the future hold for you?
I'd like to carry on touring with Soul to Soul as long as possible, because I have a lot of respect for that movement and what it means. And work on getting back to work as a songwriter, really, which is what I love the most. I love that feeling of being in the studio, knowing that you can create something great out of thin air.
If anyone is listening, Charlotte, and is inspired by your story, that may be going through sight loss themselves, what advice would you give?
That's a really good question. The advice I would have, which I think would be probably the most useful, is to really get to know yourself and know what your voice is, because your voice is not always about seeing, obviously, and about speaking. It's about how you want to live and who you are. And I've noticed I've met a lot of people who are blind and partially sighted, some of them from birth and some of them, you know, sort of going through the process of it. And I notice that they feel very angry and anxious. And I can understand that, because obviously all of a sudden you can't join in the same way with what everyone else is doing. But I think the thing is, sometimes when you want a space in the world, you have to request it and demand it in the most charming possible way, rather than, you know, just giving up because you don't see well.
And finally, Charlotte, how can people follow you?
Well, I have a Facebook page, which is Charlotte Kelly. I also have Instagram, which is Charlotte Kelly, because I keep everything the same. So people can follow me that way. I try to make sure that I show work-wise what I'm doing as much as possible. And I've also got a LinkedIn page, which is Charlotte Kelly as well. I haven't got round to setting up my own website yet, just because literally every day is so packed with things to do. But I do need to do that at some point.
Charlotte Kelly from the Grammy Award-winning band Soul to Soul. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.